Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
The EPA's proposal is more than just numbers for some folks. I'm John Davis reporting. We've heard a lot of the national numbers in the Environmental Protection Agency's proposal to cut the amount of ethanol and biodiesel going into the country's fuel supply. Cellulosic biofuels at 17 million gallons, biomass-based diesel at 1.28 billion gallons, advanced biofuels at 2.2 billion gallons, and renewable fuels at 15.21 billion gallons. But outside of all these national numbers is the impact it will have on the small rural communities that have finally come out of economic depressions to host these biofuels operations. Through direct jobs at the refineries, and the boost to the farmers and their locally grown crops that serve as feedstocks for biodiesel and ethanol. Mark Beamer with Aventine REI spoke at the EPA's hearing on the proposal, and after his testimony, we had a chance to chat a little bit about how this could affect the rural communities where his company has operations that are already about half idle due to the recent economic recession in this country.
So in terms of the jobs, it would be roughly around 150 to 170 additional jobs. It would be, if we opened all four plants, it would be wages somewhere between $10 and $15 million a year. It would be processing approximately $600 million worth of corn. It also would be other payments or other things that we would be paying for, which would be the mill rights that work on your plant to maintain it. It's all these other outsourcing jobs you also pay. So, I mean, in terms of a total number, you know, it would be somewhere in the closest three-quarters of a billion-dollar type range of costs that, you know, these local communities would benefit from if we were able to open all the plants.
And we're talking pretty small rural communities that just really don't usually have a lot of industry come rolling their way.
Absolutely. We're talking about Aurora, Nebraska that has 4,500 people. We're talking about, you know, perhaps Canton, Illinois that has 2,000 people. Mount Vernon, Indiana that has, I don't know, there's a pretty big base there. But again, it would be additional jobs in that marketplace.
Yeah. So it's not just theory for you guys. You got real people who are going to have trouble if this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a game-changing issue, you know. And many have said today it's pulling the rug out of an industry. I mean, the industry built 15 billion gallons because it was mandated, and now they're wanting to pull that back. You know, for really no sound economic reason. I mean, the economic reason saying it's going to drive up gas prices may be the craziest, counterintuitive thing we've ever heard, right? I mean, the more transportation fuel we have out here, theoretically, according to economics, probably the lower the prices it's going to be. And certainly, ethanol can compete into that marketplace. It's the cheapest molecule that you'll put in your gas tank.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, who was governor during the farm crisis of the 1980s and 1990s, spoke passionately at the hearing and continued that when talking to reporters just outside of the hearing room.
Oh, my goodness, it's all about jobs, and it's all about people, and I've been the governor, and I know the impact this has. Big Oil wants to give you one line, but the truth is this impact way beyond this fuel issue. It is a huge issue. It's going to have big implications on the future of our country. We in the Midwest see it and recognize it, and we see it in terms of the jobs, the economic growth, what it's done for the environment and the economy and all of that. We see that. I don't think, you know, in other parts of the country they maybe see it directly because we have all those jobs. We had these small rural communities that were drying up. People were moving away. Now there are good jobs available. And now young people want to go into agriculture. And now we see a revitalization occurring. And this is a big... I was governor in the 80s. It was a terrible, stressful time. We had people committing suicide. I mean, it was that bad. We don't want to revisit that.
Jeff Eastman, president and CEO of ethanol producer East Kansas Agri-Energy, says their operation has made a world of difference for the small community where they are located.
Anderson County is where we are located. And before this plant was started, we were one of the poorest counties per capita in Kansas. And we built this plant back in 2005. It was obviously the brainchild of a lot of our board members in 2001. But when we built this plant, it substantially changed the community in Kansas. Not only the well-paying jobs of the plant, but the community as a whole, and the traffic that goes through there, the jobs are related around that plant, have substantially changed that community. It's thriving now. It's great. We just recently came out of a pretty strong drought, almost a two-year worst drought in a long time, and we were shut down for 11 months. So again, having these bogeys set from the EPA and the RVO, we started back up. Obviously, we had a great corn crop. We started back up, and here we sit today, wanting to move forward with great margins, and we're fighting this today.
Rick Schwark, who serves as the president of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association and president of Absolute Energy, an ethanol producer on the Iowa-Minnesota border, says just the proposal out there is already starting to have an impact on his community.
Even though the rule isn't finalized yet, you know, the market is forward-looking. The market responds to the signals, and that's one of the reasons you're seeing corn and beans, you know, priced the way they are, and we have a lot of young farmers who are stepping out into the marketplace, and they don't have land that they inherited or bought, you know, 25 years ago. You know, they've got to compete in today's marketplace. And at today's rent values and equipment values, for them, it's already below the cost of production. So, you know, we're at risk of losing the next generation of farmers if we don't fix this.
And, yeah, coming from Iowa, you can't afford to lose more young people leaving the state than you lost, you know, during the 80s and 90s. And now you finally kind of had a rebound, and this has got to be kind of a sucker punch in that end.
Well, it not only affects Iowa, but it affects my family directly. My own son is beginning farming this year. So it's critical that, you know, he have some sort of a chance to hold his money together.
So while the billions of gallons of biofuels grab a lot of the headlines, keep in mind there's a lot of individuals out there who are already feeling the impact of this proposal. I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.